Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by the preaching of the word by Reverend Chung Shi Ming.
Now, this evening, as we come to the second half of 2019, I would like to share a word that God has placed in my heart for the past month on how we ought to position ourselves to face the challenges in the coming days, months, and years. And in order to do that, there are certain things we must understand in the realm of the Spirit. And to do that, I'm going to look at you at a Bible study with this group of people called the Sons of Issachar. Somebody say the Sons of Issachar. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and their brethren were at their command." Now, we get a clearer picture when we read from the New Living Translation. It says this, "From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take." Now, one more time. "All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take." So, Father, we commit this evening into your loving hands. Thank you for your presence in this place. For where two or three are gathered together, there you will be in the midst of your people. So this evening, as we study your word, I pray, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and give us an understanding heart to know, O God, what you are doing in this part of our life, in our world. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So the Bible says, the sons of Issachar knew the sign of the times. Somebody say the signs of the times. And it says they knew how best to live in the light of them. Now, these two are very powerful combination. Now, first of all, what does it mean to know the signs of the times? You see, to know the signs of the times is more than just reading the headlines and the tweets. It is more than knowing significant happenings among the world. It's more than just knowing the events and movements, the trends and ideology, the currents and the worldviews. It is knowing what is shaping us, forming us, and molding us. It is knowing that as believers, how many believers we have in this place? Can I see a show of hands? Right? That God has placed us uniquely in this time, positioned us to usher in the kingdom of heaven on earth. But that's not all. The men of Issachar didn't simply know those signs, but they knew how to live in the light of them. Many people can see the signs, but they don't know how to live. It is very important to know how to live, how to act, how to sense, how to respond to God's presence moving on this earth. So knowing the signs of the times and knowing how to live is the most pressing challenge of us in the 21st century. You know, recently there was a survey. It says this, in our century right now, we have so many options to make that all our young people are getting confused. You see, in the early days, you don't have many options. Either you do this or you do that. Today, there's a myriad of choices and they become confused, they become stressed. That's why you see many 20-somethings visiting psychiatrists and psychologists. So therefore, the full extent of the Issachar question is this. What is the nature of the world I am living in? What are the challenges of my generation? What is the status of the epic struggle between good and evil, right and wrong? Where is the direction of our culture headed? What is the nature of the world's great crisis? You see, that is what the people are asking. And then it goes on to the second question. If once you know all this, how therefore should I live? How do I have a life of meaning, a life of consequence, a life of impact, a life of influence for the cause of Jesus Christ? And most important of all, how should the church take its place in the vanguard of cultural engagement and fulfill her missionary duties? All these things are very important for us. If we don't know, then we are going to be lost. So you see the challenge of the men of Issachar. Now, Bible history tells us the men of Issachar, by the time they came to the time of King David in 2 Chronicles, they numbered 90,000, meaning 90,000 men and women who knew the signs of the times and knew how to act. Now, by the time you come to Jesus Christ, many people in the highest leadership echelons, the Sanhedrin, were made up of people from the tribe of Issachar. So you see, it is very important to know the signs and the times and how to live. Now, give God a big hand. Amen. So therefore, to understand the present word that the Lord has for us in 2019 and beyond, we will have to look at previous prophetic words from previous seasons. The narrative is always the same. It doesn't change. You have to look at history. Now, because the nature and the character of God is to build line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And then you will piece the picture together. So let's begin by looking at some prophetic words of Smith Wigglesworth and Bob Jones concerning the times we are living in. Now, Smith Wigglesworth lived in 1859 and he died in 1947. Now, according to the Charisma News magazine article, it said this: Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that 110 years after the outpouring of Azusa Street, there would come another great revival greater than Azusa Street on a worldwide scale. Not in one location, but all over the world where people were hungry for the move of God. Now, I want to show you this, right? When did Azusa Street end? Azusa Street ended in about the year 1912 to 1915. Now, that's what people say. So if you add 110 years, what do you have? 110 years? What do you have? Excuse me. You all know, right? What do you have? 2022 to 2025. Correct? Right? Now, let us look at another testimony of Smith Wigglesworth, a prophetic word he gave to Lester Sumrall. Okay, now, this was in 1939, before the outbreak of the Second World War. Smith Wigglesworth said to Lester Sumrall, with tears rolling down his face, Smith cried, saying, "I probably won't see you again now. My job is finished." As he continued to pray, he cried, "I see it, I see it." Brother Sumrall asked, "What do you see? What do you see?" He said, "I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It will be so easy for people to get healed. I see it, I see it. I won't be here for it." But he told Lester Sumrall, "You will be here for it." And this great healing revival was where we saw people like Oral Roberts, Catherine Kuhlman, A. Allen, Jack Cole, William Branham all come to the forefront. And the miracles and signs were of a tremendous, tremendous level. Then Smith Wigglesworth continued to prophesy, "I see another one. I see the people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a charismatic renewal. And from here, God raised up ministries like the Full Gospel Businessmen. This is the charismatic renewal that swept through Singapore and all the traditional churches. And the two main people that pushed this revival forward was Bishop Chiu Ban It and Canon Dr. James Wong." And do you know, it was from this revival that City Harvest Church was born. Right? So you see, when you look at the narrative, you got to know, you and I exist as a church because of a prophetic word, not because God had nothing better to do. So turn to your neighbor and say, "God has a purpose for us." Tell neighbor that. Now, then Brother Wigglesworth prophesied again and said to Lester Sumrall, "I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There will be a wave of teaching on faith and healing." And when he saw this, it was the movement of the word of faith. And many of these teachers came to the forefront, which we were a part of. We saw people like Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince, Brian Bailey all come to the front. But that has passed already. And then Smith Wigglesworth said lastly, after that, after the third wave, he started sobbing and crying. I see the last day revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. Ministry gifts simply means the ministry of the prophet, the apostle, evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. Right? He said, I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring sick to churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. So I want you to know, we are not there yet, right? Or let me rephrase that. Are we there yet? Where in the timeline are we? Now, then Bob Jones, who lived from 1930 to 2014, in a Charisma News article, he said this. He said, before he died on Valentine's Day 2014, Bob gave a prophetic word, sharing three signs that will take place before the coming of a billion soul harvest. Turn to your neighbor and say, billion soul harvest. Okay, this billion soul harvest is 1 billion young people. All right? Now, back in 1983 in Kansas City, he prophesied, right, these three things that happened first, that in America, a morning after pill will be invented, which is already invented. Number two, America will legalize same-sex marriage, which is also done already. But look at number three, that a watch will be invented that laborers working in the rice paddies in China could wear and listen to worship music. What is this? Apple Watch. Bob Jones died in 2014. The Apple Watch was launched in 2015. Right? So he said, after his death, it will happen. So you know, these guys, both these men prophesied, there will be a great move of the Holy Spirit with signs, wonders, miracles, hand in hand with a great harvest of souls. So these prophetic words, what are they? They are like road signs confirming our path and direction as we journey forward. Now, one word might indicate you keep on moving, but you will see certain highlights along the way. But another prophetic word can tell you, you need to make some changes along the way. So in City Harvest Church, as we celebrate this year, our 30th anniversary, what is the Lord wanting us to know? What is the word of the Lord for us? And as I was preparing this sermon, I felt that God wants to connect us to His heart. God wants to connect us to His plan. And God wants to connect us to His reformation purposes in the earth. And I believe, write this in your notes if you're taking notes, that God wants to move us from survival to revival. Amen. From survival to revival. Right? Now, don't think of revival as just meetings after meetings going on for 24 hours and crusade meetings. The definition of revival is very broad and wide. Now, number one, it means to bring back to life, to bring back to consciousness, to bring back to vigor, to bring back to vitality, to bring back to strength, to bring back to flourishing conditions. Number two, it means a spiritual awakening. Number three, it also means to quicken, to restore, to renew hope, and to renew confidence. Number four, revival also means to activate or to set things in motion. Number five, to make operative or valid again. Number six, to quicken or renew the mind. Number seven, to recover from financial depression. How many of you here are in financial depression? Huh, nobody. Everybody busy taking picture. Okay, now all right. Anyway, how many of you are in financial depression? Let me tell you, many people have come to me and say, Pastor, the last decade in our church, you know, I haven't been breaking through financially. That is of the devil. I want you to know it's demonic. But God is doing something new in our midst. If you're in depression, God is going to lift you up to the highest mountain very shortly. All right? And lastly, God wants to rejuvenate, to reactivate, to resuscitate, and to revitalize. In other words, revival is for everyone. It's for the lost. It's for the prodigal. It's for the brokenhearted. It's for the one that's struggling with doubt, with unbelief, with fear. It's for the one desperate in need of a miracle, desperate in need of a healing, desperate in need of a deliverance. Listen, God doesn't just move when Mike Connell comes. Last week on Saturday, I know many of you were disappointed. You're saying, oh, Pastor Mike prayed on Sunday, but nothing on Saturday. Who told you that? Who told you that we only need to have Mike Connell? Don't you think the Holy Spirit and Jesus is more powerful? I mean, bless Mike Connell. I mean, I love his ministry, you know? Right? But you see, we need to become spiritualized. Now, let me ask you here. How many of you here need a healing today? Can I see a show of hands? You need a healing. Physical healing. Physical healing. How many of you need a physical healing? Can I see a show of hands? Oh, okay. Why those of you wear specs don't put up hands? You see? We are civilized, but we're not spiritualized. We think wearing specs is normal. It's part of our human makeup. Who told you that? Who told you you must live with contact lenses? Who told you you're going to live with spectacles for the rest of your life? Didn't the Bible say, Jesus said, I came to heal them? Right? So you see, we got to be spiritualized. Every area of your life, body, soul, and spirit, God wants to bring it to a wholeness. And we call that sozo in Greek. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need sozo. Tell your neighbor that, right? So therefore, who is revival for? It's for the history makers. It's for the world shakers. It's for the reformers. And that is why it is very important to understand the season that we are living in right now. Now, the most important aspect of this new season prophetically is found in both the Roman numeral and Hebraic years. Okay? So we are now living in the year 2019. Right? In the Hebrew timeline, it is the year 5779. Okay? Now, this number 9 is very interesting. If you look at this number 9, this number 9 is very prophetic. Right now, so the number 9 denotes the finishing of a cycle and a breaking out into a new cycle. That's why after 9, you get 10. Then you go back to 1 again. It's called 11. Then you hit 19, you go back to finish, and you get 20. So we are at the end of a cycle going on to a new cycle. And as we look, and this evening, I want to bring in the scripture to show you the significance of this number. And I believe there are several interesting and powerful keys that will help us unlock a surge of expectation. Someone say expectation. A surge of revelation. Someone say revelation. And transformation. Someone say transformation. That will affect our personal lives, our church, and our nation. Now give God a big hand for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, now number 1. 9 is associated with birthing. It takes a woman 9 months before she gives birth. This means that now is the season for us as a church, for you in your spiritual life, in your workplace, in your school, to birth forth the breakthroughs you have been carrying and releasing a time of fruitfulness, blessing, joy, fulfillment, and harvest in your life. Now, the 9th letter of the Hebraic alphabet is the letter Tet. Okay, so you look at the letter Tet on the PowerPoint. Now, you notice some scholars say this is a picture of a pregnant woman. Okay, anyway, all right. That's what they say, right? Now, so when you look at a pregnant woman, what do you say? You say she is expecting. So therefore, the Holy Spirit will ask us today, in this new season, what are you expecting? Okay, one more time. What are you expecting? Turn to your neighbor, look him eyeball to eyeball. What are you expecting? Ask him that. Right? So therefore, we got to move beyond our disappointments and fears regarding past seasons of barrenness and stir up a revival of expectation before God to see our faith produce the breakthrough we've been carrying. How many of you have been carrying breakthrough in your spirit for the last how many years already? Can I see your hands? Right? You've been believing God. You know, many of you have been believing our life partner for a long, 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 long time. It's time for it to manifest. Now, as a woman completes her 9th month of pregnancy, her discomfort increases until the delivery. Sometimes she feels miserable with emotions, sleepless at night, and pressure. Right? Now, because of a joy that's set before her, she will endure the challenge. And when it comes time to push, she will push, and then the baby will come forth. But do you know there's a Bible verse about this? It's found in Isaiah 37 and verse 3. It talks about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah declares, "For the children are come to birth, but there is no strength to bring forth." That is a doctor's or midwife's nightmare, or gynecologist's nightmare, when the pregnant woman has no strength to push at all. Right? Now, why did Hezekiah say this? Now, this was a prophecy given to Hezekiah, a righteous king, a reformer, because he turned Judah back to God and restored the temple worship. He was faithful to the Lord. Yet the city of Jerusalem, where he lived in, was surrounded by the king of Assyria, this evil king called Sennacherib. And he was faced with sudden destruction. Sennacherib sent his emissary, meaning mouthpiece, ambassador, called Rabashakeh. Turn to your neighbor and say, Rabashakeh. Okay? Oh, sorry. It's Rabshakeh. Turn to your neighbor and say, Rabshakeh. All right? Now, he was sent to demoralize Hezekiah and his armies. And he used words. He said to Hezekiah, "Why don't you give up? Why don't you stop defending the city? Just surrender right now. You know, God has forsaken you. He will not save you at all." Rabshakeh filled the air with accusations against God, against the leaders, and against the impossibility of their situation. If you want to know what that looks like, go and watch the movie 300. It's something like that. Hordes of enemy coming. And then the king will stand there and says, "You know, I'm going to overrun you." Right? So he was spreading poison, getting into the heads of the people and the leaders. Listen, that is what Satan will do to you. So don't let Satan get into your head. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't let Satan get into your head." You know what Satan wants to do? Satan wants to convince us on our 30th anniversary that all our works for the last 30 years and the reformation we've been doing is all nothing. And at the end, God has abandoned us and will not hear our prayer. That's what Satan wants to do. But I want you to know, right, that God has a different thought. I want you to know, right, that rather than let Rabshakeh and his poison words rob them of their land, Hezekiah set himself to seek the Lord and pray. And you know, he began to pray, and then he had these words he gave the people. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7 to verse 8. He said to the people this. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him." Look, God knew that they had a vast army. And God said, "I can see." But God said, "I want you to know, for there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." That's what he said. And you know what the people did? The people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. So those of you who are cell group leaders, those of you who are fathers of your family, those of you who are head of your company and corporations, those who are leaders, HOD of your departments, always remember the Lord is here to fight for you. Even though the enemy mounts a lot, but God is more and greater. Amen. Now, Isaiah the prophet also got a word from the Lord and gave it to Hezekiah. He released a prophetic word of breakthrough that sounded totally impossible. Now, you go back and read 2 Chronicles 32, right? That night, God sent one angel. Turn to your neighbor and say, one angel. And this one angel wiped out 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians. One angel. 185,000 soldiers all gone. Rabshakeh and Sennacherib both returned to their own country to be killed by their own countrymen. So what did God do? God fought for Judah. Prayer and prophecy shifted the battle and brought a heavenly intervention. Give God a big hand for that. Amen, amen, amen. And because of this, right, of the angelic armies overthrowing the enemy. Actually, it's not angelic armies, only one person. All right, yeah. Right? Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Turn to your neighbor and say, you shall condemn. So listen, the pastor cannot do it for you. You got to do it yourself. You got to look at the devil and you got to tell the devil, you come nearer, I send you to hospital. You must tell the devil that. Right? Correct. And then he says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So the voice of the Lord and the prayers and prophecy are our weapons. So when you are in a survival mode, what do? Repent, pray, prophesy. When you feel besieged, what should you do? Repent, pray, and prophesy. When you need a miracle and you're back against the wall, what do? Repent, pray, and prophesy. And if you are carrying reformation and revival, release the voice of the Lord. The Bible says the voice of the Lord is powerful and the voice of the Lord is majestic. And the Lord will fight for you. Amen, amen. Now, what else is the number 9 associated with? The number 9 is also associated with this idea of sacrifice and of prayer. Now, in the Bible, we read a lot about this phrase called the 9th hour. Okay, the 9th hour. So the title of my message today is the 9th hour, if you're taking notes, okay, right? Now, so the thing is this. The 9th hour is also known as the hour of the evening sacrifice. So whenever you see the phrase evening sacrifice, it's talking about the 9th hour. Now, in Scripture, the 9th hour of the Jewish day was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Okay, 3 p.m. Turn to your neighbor and say, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Right? It's 9 hours since daybreak. Now, what is the 9th hour of prayer and sacrifice? It was evidenced as a time where earthly prayers spark a heavenly response. Okay? Where earthly prayers spark a heavenly response. I'm going to give you examples from the New Testament and Old Testament to show you what happens. Okay? Now, turn to your neighbor and say, earthly prayers spark a heavenly response. Tell your neighbor that, right? Yeah. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 Kings chapter 18, go ahead and read yourself. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah was on Mount Carmel in a showdown between the false prophets of Baal. And while they are carrying on cutting themselves and chanting petitions, Elijah prepared an altar and placed a sacrifice on it. It was a time of drought, so he took the precious water and he sacrificed that. It goes to show there was a dependence on God. In the 9th hour, the time of the evening sacrifice, the Bible tells us God answered from heaven, set a fire to consume the sacrifice and all the water around it. The people were astounded by the supernatural display, fell on their faces, turned their hearts back to God. And so this sign of heaven from the 9th hour released Elijah to defeat the prophets of Baal. It broke the curse of drought, and what happened? It activated a prophetic release. What did Elijah say? He said this, I hear the sound of abundant rain. And very quickly after that, the rain came. So over here in 1 Kings chapter 18, it shows us this, that at this 9th hour, that spiritual drought was broken and revival breaks out. We are now in a time of the 9-hour season, right? Because of the 9 and the 9. So it is time for us, City Harvest, to break out of spiritual drought, to break the curse over our lives and come into a time of revival. Amen. Okay? Now, in Ezra chapters 9 and 10, right? Now, it's a very long chapter. I have no time to go through all the verses. Ezra prayed for national revival among the Jews at the time of the 9th hour too. As a result of the intercession, the nation turned back to God. Because what happened was the people started to intermarry and they lost their holiness. They lost their distinctive as a holy people. God saw their repentance, heard their prayers, and God restored them to his heart. So what I'm trying to say is this, young people, the time you live in, you've got to walk holy. Right? You've got to walk. How come young people never say amen? They're all very quiet. Yeah? Right? No such thing as, oh, pastor, I'm going holiday with my partner. Huh? Oh, where? Thailand. Oh, same room. Ah, pastor, don't worry. Same room, yes. Oh, nobody else. Nobody else. Oh, but don't worry, pastor. I put a bottle of water in the middle so nothing will happen. Listen, then you will lose your distinctiveness as a believer, right? And you become so close to the world. So over here, what happened is this. You got to be distinct. In order to drive out darkness, you got to be the salt and the light. Now, Pastor Mike shared me this testimony, which I want to share with you. When he was teaching as a teacher in New Zealand before he went full-time, what he would do is this. He would go to his classroom and he would pray. He would bind all the spirits of fear, unbelief, low self-esteem, and he would release a spirit of learning. And do you know what happened? His class students all did very well, right? In fact, they did so well, they gave him 4 classes, then 5 classes, then the whole level. All the science classes was given to him. Then Pastor Mike shared with me this, and he was laughing. He says, you know, the room I was in was so anointed that when students walked past, now this was before he went full-time, that when students walked past his room, they will shake. And then they don't know why. They'll go into his room and say, Mr. Cornell, why are we shaking when we walk past your room? You know, they're manifesting. So it already started before he went full-time. You see, and then Pastor Mike said, that is how we influence society and culture, when we carry the presence of God together with us. But you must be willing to walk distinct and holy. And all the other teachers are wondering, how did you do it? What do you do? Pastor Mike just look at them and smile. But that is how it's done, right? Now, the next example is found in Daniel chapter 9. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel too was praying for revival prayers for the nation, fasting, interceding for his nation, repenting for the sins, because it had come to 70 years and he realized the Babylonian captivity had come to an end. So while praying, nothing happened. So this is how Daniel prayed. I want to show you from Daniel chapter 9 and verse 19. Okay, this is how he prayed. Now you look, NIV version. Let's all read together from the screen starting now. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. You notice how bold his prayer was? How could he be so bold? Because he knew the times and the seasons. He knew the captivity was over. He knew that God had to move. So what I'm sharing with you is this. We as a church are now in a brand new season. This year is a turning point. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. It is a turning point. This decade is coming to an end. A new decade is starting. Right? And so therefore, we got to become bold in our prayers. When we pray, we got to say, God, listen. God, forgive. God, hear and act for your sake, my God. And I tell you, God will move. And how did God move? God moved through an angelic visitation. So at the 9th hour, what happens? You have angelic visitation. The angel came down. And the angel, rather than just comfort or inspire Daniel. The Bible tells us the angel empowered Daniel with insight and understanding for the days ahead. And the people were led out from captivity into revival, and they repossessed their promised land. Amen. Give God a big hand. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I want to share with you the story of Bishop Chiu Ban-in and Canon James Wong. Both of them experienced this. Both of them, in the 1970s, were very burdened for the Singapore churches. Because Singapore was a young nation, and many people were not very God-centered. You know, they were more concerned about survival. They're thinking, how can we survive as a young nation? And you know, we just got independent for a few years. So they were so burdened, they began to pray. Now, so Chiu Ban-in was the bishop, the head of the Anglican Church. Canon Wong was a senior clergy or senior leader. One day, someone came to Chiu Ban-in and said, read this book, 9 o'clock in the morning, by this Reverend Dennis. Now, he was an Anglican clergy also. He also got visited by the Holy Spirit. So Chiu Ban-in was thinking, you know, I don't know what this is all about. You know, I don't know whether it's flaky. But a lot of people were telling him, this charismatic renewal is a real thing. So he took all the books and he was in a conference. Now, in a conference, he had to go back to his hotel room. So he was sitting in a bus. So on the bus, he was thinking to himself, Bishop Chiu said this in his biography. He said, I prayed to God and said, God, if this is from you, show me. Then he fell asleep. When he woke up, he was praying in tongues. He was going, and he was shocked. He was wondering, what is this? So he went to look for the person that gave him the book, you know, and says, what's happening to me here? He says, look, this is what I've been praying. The guy said, wow, that's tongues. Then Bishop Chiu, are you sure? Are you sure? He went to check with a few other people. And finally, he realized he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. How? In his sleep. It's not even a long sleep. It's just a cat nap on the bus. So can you imagine? He just prayed, God, I desire a breakthrough. Wow, what a great way to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, Canon Wong's was kind of different. Canon Wong is more intellectual. So he read through a lot of books. And his office was at ACS, where the six secondary school students had an infilling of the Holy Spirit. So they went to Canon Wong and said, Canon Wong, can you explain to us what is this baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues? Oh, Canon Wong was a bit like, oh, you know, don't go in. Canon Wong was a bit like hesitant for a moment. But when he saw their sincerity, he said, okay, I go and find out. And so through a series of studying of books, he became convinced. He became convinced that this was of God. So one day in his quiet time, he knelt down. And Canon says this, you can ask him when you see him. Right, he was praying. And all of a sudden, while he prayed and desired and hungered for God, the Holy Spirit filled him and he began to speak in new tongues. Now, that's not the beautiful part. The beautiful part is this. Because these two major leaders of the Anglican Church opened their heart, right? Immediately after that weekend, their church, the St. Andrew's Cathedral, a lot of Anglican churches all over began to have massive people coming. They wanted healing. They wanted Bible study. And history tells us many of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many of them were saved. And out of that revival is where you and I came from Marine Parade Christian Center. And there we are today at City Harvest Church. Amen. Right? Now, in the New Testament, we see several powerful displays of heaven being moved by the prayers of men in the ninth hour. So having a prayer meeting at 3 p.m. is very spiritual. Yeah, I know. You know, many of us, 3 p.m. So afternoon. Right? Very spiritual. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were at the gate, beautiful. And at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, they went in to pray. They encountered a lame man. He was in a state of survival, begging to survive. No victory, no breakthrough, no ability to move forward, no joy, no vision for his future, just going through the daily grind. So rather than give him earthly riches to meet a temporal need, right, which would still have put him in a survival state, Peter and John lifted him and looked at him and said, "We don't have what you want, but what we have, we give unto you." And what did they have? They had the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this man leapt up and walked. His survival status as a lame man was immediately shifted to a man who carried revival, to a man who carried joy, to a man demonstrating the reality of God. His vision for life was revived. His joy was revived. His faith in God was revived. And this picture, I believe, is not just a picture for individuals, but I believe it's God's restoring power, rejuvenating power, revival power for the church that has been lame, dysfunctional, and limited in hope or vision. God wants us to come back to the place and bring us to a place of a divine reversal. Someone say amen. Amen. Now, another example, two more, and then we will end. In Acts 10, we see the story of the Roman centurion, Cornelius, who is crying out to God for salvation. He was a devout man, feared God, gave generously. Again, at the ninth hour, the Jewish hour of prayer, an angel visits. Listen, the ninth hour is an hour you get angelic visitation, right? And the angel said, "Your prayers and your giving have opened a door in the spirit realm. You have got God's attention." And then the angel gave him instructions, "Go and do this, go and do that." And what happened is this: a supernatural grace fell upon Cornelius. His whole household was saved. So what else happens at the ninth hour? The ninth hour is a time for us to renew our prayers for those who are backslidden, or we call them prodigals. It's time for us to renew our prayers for our family members who don't believe yet. Because it is at this time God is wanting to spark something new. And not only that, the gospel went from the Jews to the Gentiles, meaning God is doing something new among the nations of the world. So those of you who are doing missions, listen, I believe there's a time going to come. You're not just going to see one household saved, two households saved. I believe you can believe God for villages to come to Jesus Christ. I believe you can believe for towns and cities to come to Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Right? So the thing is this, get ready for harvest. Get ready for revival. And lastly, the most powerful ninth hour story, in my opinion, is found in Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. You know, in Matthew 27, verse 45, Jesus was hanging on the cross at the third hour. And at the ninth hour, he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he cried out, "It is finished." And then he went and then he died. Ninth hour. You know, I was having overwhelming emotions. I need to, you know, the declaration, "It is finished," is exactly what the high priest would declare, or the priest would declare at the time of the evening sacrifice. After shedding blood of the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the people, he would stand there and he would say, "It is finished." Jesus did that on the cross. He became our intercessor, the perfect sacrifice for the sin of all humanity. It was a time the veil was torn in half from top to bottom. Ground shook, the dead were resurrected, appeared in cities. All this happened in the ninth hour. You know why I'm so moved? Because I believe God is declaring that the veil of separation, the veil of shame, the veil of fear, the veil of inadequacy, the veil of powerlessness, the veil of reproach that we have experienced as a church for the last decade is coming down, so that we can come into the Holy of Holies once again. I really believe that. The heavens are being ripped open. And we will have a fresh access in coming to experience the goodness, the power, the mercy, the faithfulness, the revelation, the wisdom from God. Everything that can be shaken has been shaken in the last decade. But shaking results in revival. Shaking results in a resurrection life. An awakening of dry bones that will cause the world to declare, truly, Jesus is the Son of God. It is the ninth hour, friends, City Harvest Church. It's time for us to shift from survival mode to revival mode. Let us raise our expectation. Let us increase our prayer focus to begin to birth what God has birthed within us 30 years ago. That He will raise up a group of young people who will take the nations by storm. That is the vision. That is the dream that God birthed in our church. Listen, it's not just Pastor Kong. It's all of us. All of us in this place. Don't let Rabbeinu Shekhar's lies into your head. Release the voice of God. Prophecy, prayer, into the vision God has given to us. Let us push because God will fight for us. So what can we believe God for the remaining 6 months of 2019 and beyond? I really believe we need a fresh manifestation of the life of the Spirit in us and the grief of the Holy Spirit. From the ninth hour we learn there's a new prophetic voice. From the ninth hour we learn spiritual drought is broken. From the ninth hour we learn miracles, healing, deliverance happen. From the ninth hour we learn angelic visitation and partnership. From the ninth hour examples we learn evangelism. And also from the ninth hour, nothing, all this is only possible if there's sacrifice. This is something we haven't talked about in church for a long time. But I really believe it requires a new sacrifice. You know, so wherever we're seated right now, I need to sing this song. I think the flow is there. You're here. Okay, all right. Yeah, yeah. You know, just sit down, you know, and I just want to sing this song first. And as we sing this song, let's rededicate our life back to the Lord. Okay? Someone want to help me? The singers.
I can get enough.
Lift your heart and worship.
No, I can get enough. Of your amazing love. Oh, I can get enough.
I can walk away.
Oh, I can walk away.
The call of God is still true for us.
Oh, no, I can walk away.
Remember all the promises of God.
For I have seen your
worship Jesus,
and I can walk away
all together now.
I just want to be where you are, and I just want to be near your heart. There is nothing like your There is nothing like your love. And we sing, holy, holy, you are holy.
Lift your voice in worship.
Oh,
all your eyes are closed. Remember the words that God has spoken to us 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It is all still true. Don't let the devil mess with your mind. Where you're seated right now, just make the decision. Say, Jesus, I believe again. I believe again. And if you believe again, give Jesus a big hand right now wherever you are. Amen. So what does this mean for us in City Harvest Church? I want to end with an encounter Bob Jones had with Jesus when he died and went to heaven in 1975. He said, God told him, I'm going to bring 1 billion youth to myself in one of the greatest awakenings of all time. So Bob Jones says, all these years, I stayed alive because I'm going to seek it. I was told I would see the first of it. I will see it. I was told I would see the glory. I saw it recently. The glory is here to stay. It'll never leave again. And that glory is a preparation for a harvest beyond imagination. 1 billion youth. And he said this, I believe it will probably begin in the year 2020. You see the season we're living in? And so right now, into the year 2012, I see the first harvest. And it'll be greater than anything you've ever seen. How many of you were saved before 2012? Can I see a show of hands? You believe in Jesus, so you are the first harvest. And that, they'll be regathered into the first harvest, it'll be resown for a second harvest. And I believe the second harvest will go between 2012 to 2020. How many of you were born again between 2012 to 2020? Can I see a show of hands? You are the second harvest. And then it'll be gathered in the granary and sold for a third harvest. And out of the third harvest, there'll be 1 billion souls coming to the Lord. Most of them will be young. Now I want to speak to those who are my generation. But I believe what he's really speaking now, Bob Jones, saying of God, it's not to the youth as much as to the over 50s and also over 40s. The pioneers of this move that we have. The over 50s or the pioneers must come in now and oversee it, protect it, get behind it, never in front of it, finance it, motivate it, direct it. Listen, those of you like me as pioneers, don't sit at the back, sit at the front. This is your place in the house of the Lord. You are the pioneers of the house. This is the word of the living God for us, I feel. And so I believe what the Holy Spirit is speaking now to these mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers. Get a vision that your life doesn't end at 50. It only begins. And it goes from now on. And so I believe what the Holy Spirit is waiting for is for the older people. You know what the Holy Spirit is waiting for? For us pioneers to come back again. Really. He said this, the Joshuas to get into place. Because when Joshua went to the promised land, he was not a youth. He was an old man who crossed into Jordan. And the Joshuas are being called to stand up again and begin to lead again. Bring the fathers, the grandfathers back into the body of Christ so that he can direct the youth. That's what God is doing. I feel. We have been through a hard time. We have been through a challenging time. Maybe for some of us, our prayers are not answered. But listen, you need to get right with God. It's not about whatever. It's you and God. This is the season. This is the season. Look, you strike lottery, also cannot strike like that. This is the season. God has already started something new on the earth. You know, when I was younger, I attended the Bible Society meeting. It was the anniversary celebration. And I still remember, in that meeting, I was the youngest. I was the only one with black hair. The rest all like that, like that. Really, you know, really. Then there was, then all of them waiting for the lift. So I thought I'd take the staircase. Then one auntie come in front of me with a tongkat, you know, and she really climbed like that up the staircase. Then I was like, wow. A lot of things went in my heart, like, can I say one? You know, all right? So I was like, so I was very frustrated. So by the time I got to the room, I got a shock of my life. I said, wow, this is going to be an old meeting. Look at all these oldies. What good can come out from this meeting? Then in my mind, I was thinking, why Pastor Kong asked me to come? And I was thinking, why am I wasting my time? Right? Oh, really, every head, I'm not lying. Every head, including the song leader, including the musician, everyone, white hair, white as snow. Really? You know? And then they started the first song, "This is the day the Lord has made." You know, this is the day, this is... Do you know? The moment they started to sing, I cried. It was so full of life. It was so full of passion. The tongkat auntie. Everyone, hallelujah, yeah. We are the trees of righteousness. I was blown away. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, what were you saying? On the spot, I repented. I said, God, when I am their age, let me be like them, totally on fire for you. So where do we go from here? What's the first step to take after this? The ninth hour has a sacrifice attached to it. Yes, God answers prayer, but there's always a sacrifice. Cornelius gave an offering. The disciples, Peter and John, were living in dangerous times. If they healed publicly, they get thrown in jail, which is actually what happened after that. They got thrown in jail. Right? You see, all those, Elijah, the sacrifice was water, the most precious thing that was needed. The people in Ezra had to commit to live a holy life. That was a sacrifice. So I believe the first step for us as City Harvest Church is we must be willing to be a living sacrifice. Because fire needs fuel to burn. When there's no fuel, there's no fire. You can pray for fire until your eyes grow, until your face goes green. Nothing will happen until you and I give our lives as a living sacrifice. So if that's you, and you are willing to be part of this greatest end time move, and to have the fire of God burn in your heart once again, I want you to come down to the stage. You're not going to lay hands, but it's an act of faith that you will take. Just come to the front wherever you are right now. You know, just come to the front. That's right. You know, if you need to bring up belongings, bring up belongings. Just come down to the front. Let's fill up. Just fill up all this place in the front right now. That's right. Just come. That's right. Just come and lift up your hands.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. And God, we believe it. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised.
Lift your hands and worship.
Giants are still being slain.
God, we believe it.
God, we believe it.
Yes, we can see
that wonders are still what you do.
That's right. This move started 30 years ago. Declare it right now. This is a move.
This is a move.
Shuri adara.
This is a move.
This is a move.
We are here for you.
Come and do.
Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts for you. Come and do what you do. Yes, we need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Oh, there's a miracle.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Oh, miracles.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
This is a move.
Just lift your hands up wherever you are and begin to just pray in the Spirit. Pray in tongues once again. You pray for yourself. Say, Father, I lay my life as a living sacrifice once again. That's right. Everyone in this place, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, where you are standing is holy ground. Just lift your voice right now. Lift your voice in prayer. That's right. Imro stande kanti hena rasodo na la de na 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 na. That's right. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Cry out to the Holy Spirit. Fresh fire. Fresh fire in my life. Fresh fire in my life.
Come like a fire, blow like a wind. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
All together now.
Here for
everyone said, amen. Give Jesus a big hand this evening. Give Jesus a big, big hand. Survival to revival. Survival to revival. Survival to revival. Survival to revival. Thank you, Jesus. You know, our time is up. I'm very moved. You know, I really feel that this is the word of the Lord for our church. And I pray that moving forward into the next 30 years, I tell you, the season is now. The glory is here. And let me tell you, let's get behind the young people. Next week is Emerge. You know, please, I want to encourage all the adults, come and support them. I tell you, I did the camps in the month of June. I saw their love, I saw their passion, I saw their fire. I tell you, it is amazing. I'm so, so, so blessed. Anyway, thank you for responding. God bless all of you. See you next week at Emerge. Amen.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.